Thank you, Renee. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm still excited about Jesus. How about you? Yeah. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I heard one yes. Praise the Lord. Well, our hearts are with the Gerdes family.
Yes.
Some of you knew Jean Gerdes. And I was just telling Mark, her son, this morning, you know, I remember when she was able to come here, she always, after the service, she'd come up to me and ask me about different ways how she could witness to different people where she was working. And I mean, for an elderly lady to do that, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't hear that a lot, but we can still pray, can't we? When we can't do something, we can still pray as we get older, too, even if we can't reach out. But I always, you know, admired her for doing that because that was her heart, to win the loss. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do at Crossfire Assembly. We're a church, a remnant church, amongst many of them in the United States. And we preach the Word of God here with the Lord's help. Amen?
Amen.
And the hour that we're living in, you can see the changes that are happening in our world right now. And they're happening quickly. And we're making preparation for the coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They say, even in the church, there's people who say, oh, you know, they've been saying that for 2,000 years or plus or whatever. You know, and those are called mockers.
Yeah.
And he is going to come back. He said he was going to come the first time. Did he come?
Yes.
He didn't come when they expected him to, but he did show up.
Yes.
Means he come. And he's going to come again.
Amen.
And he told us to be aware of the signs of the times in which we live in to know when he's getting ready to come back. And the next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Whether you believe that or not, that's okay. I'm going to go whether you believe it or not. And it is going to happen, and it's going to happen so quickly. There will be no time for changes in our life. No saying, oh, I wish I was ready or anything. It's going to be a sound of a trumpet in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ first shall rise, and those which remain thereafter.
Yes.
We were hoping that would happen with our loved ones before they die. But, hey, the world's still going forward, and as long as that happens, we need to make preparation for the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
So we're excited about that. I know he's coming, and people, I keep telling you too, don't follow man.
No.
Don't ever follow man. I don't care if he's a well-known person, a celebrity, or somebody that is in the news that you've heard for a long time, or they've got celebrity status or whatever. Don't ever follow them, even if they are speaking the name of Jesus or whatever. Don't do that. I was just listening to someone who's well-known in the world, actually, right now, but he had given a prayer at an Omaha church. A charismatic church. And that prayer that he had given, if he had given it here in this church, I would ask him to step down off the pulpit.
Amen. Good for you.
And this was a large church, and he had everyone in the congregation, if you listen to it, the whole congregation was praying the prayer along with him. A New Age prayer. It wasn't the God, the Jesus. It wasn't in Jesus' name. It was talking about New Age things, Legion, and different things like that going on. It was totally, totally disgusting. And the whole church bowed their heads and they prayed along with this man. And we need to be careful. If the very elect, it's possible the very elect can be deceived right now. So be aware of everything. Everything you're listening to. You don't have, I'm like Brother Al, I don't listen to much news or anything on the television anymore. You can't trust any of it. You try to find the best news where you can and the most honest, but you still are always on guard of being aware. This is why this is your final word right here.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
How many brought your Bibles today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the final word.
Amen.
Right here. If you're hearing it and it doesn't line up with this, don't follow it. Don't listen to it. Jesus is getting ready to come, and he said there's going to be a great falling away, and there's many people that are going to fall away because they've got deceived by choice.
Yeah.
By choice. Because it's our choice. We'll try to, at Judgment Day, there will be many people who stand before the Lord and try to give excuse why they were deceived. And it's going to be by their choice because they weren't reading the Word. And like Renee put it very well this morning, too. We need to be in church. This is where we learn from each other's, help each other's, encourage each other's. And this is an opportunity, and it's a time when the church is getting sloppy. And we need to be aware that we need to be disciplined in our walk with the Lord in every facet. And that's why I come every Sunday. Welcome. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Revelation. I'm going to read some scripture to you out of the book of Revelation here this morning. Chapter 21, if you brought your Bibles here, you can follow her on the screen. I think we put it up there also. But I'm going to read the whole chapter, and you're going to say, oh, I don't want to hear that in Revelation. Well, I'll tell you what, then you'll have to leave, because this is where you get blessed.
That's right.
You'll receive a special blessing to them who read and study the book of Revelation.
Yes.
And if you don't want a blessing, then not my fault, but this is it. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 27. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a great promise, huh? And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Praise the Lord. Neither sorrow nor crying. Anybody cry recently? No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Anybody ever had any pain? Just think, no more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. See, that's one person you can trust.
Yes.
And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show these things the bride. Excuse me, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone as clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, children of Israel. On the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, on the west, three gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th janeth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent gold. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Last verse. And there shall be in no wise enter in it anything that defileth.
Hallelujah.
Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, can you imagine what's going on in our world today? Can you hear all the lies that are happening and all the deceit and all the evil, the abuse that we're finding out that's been hidden and is starting to come out? And here, when we get to this new heaven, we won't have to put up with any of it ever again. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you again for another day. Lord, we look for your return. You told us that you're coming for them that love your coming and look for your coming. And Lord, I believe that you're soon going to be appearing in this old world. And Lord, we don't know if all these events are heading us into the tribulation or we are in the beginning stages of it. I don't know for sure, but you do, Lord. But you told us to watch for the signs that are happening, the great falling away, delusional things that are happening in people's minds and hearts and a falling away. All these things you told us is going to happen just shortly before you come. And so, Lord, we're looking and preparing for your coming, Lord. Yes. And we're excited about it. Yes. And, Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we praise your name. And we give you all the glory and all the honor this morning.
Yes.
And we praise you, Father.
Yes.
Lord, let your anointing be upon the congregation, Lord. Help us to hear your word, to receive it, to challenge our lives, to be people of God, and to always remember that our lives, Heavenly Father, help us to remember by your Holy Spirit that we are salt and light in a dark world right now. And it's time for your church to rise, to stand up, because, Lord, I believe your glory again is going to shine upon this earth, and even the wicked are going to take note, and no man will take glory from you, Lord. You will receive it all. And we give you that praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So my message today is a glimpse of a place called heaven. I thought it was important to speak on heaven today because I've been hitting some pretty good subjects, preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord and everything, which I'll keep doing too. But we need to remember that this is not our home.
That's right.
That's right.
I like what Renee said today, that this is a family. We come together as the family of God.
Yes.
Even though we got our personal families, there's nothing that beats the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. We'll always have that family. We're going to be living together in eternity in heaven.
Yeah.
So you better get used to me and love me now.
Yeah. Amen.
You won't be able to ignore me. You won't be able to talk about me. Not in heaven you won't, because the God of love's there.
Amen.
And every one of us that are going to be there are going to look around. We're going to love everybody there beyond our wildest dreams. It's hard to fathom, isn't it?
Amen.
Even in the midst of all the different ways God, all the people, all the different multitudes of people that God has made and created for a reason, we're all going to be in heaven together looking at one another.
Praise the Lord.
What an exciting time. A glimpse of a place called heaven. So I'd like us to join John as he records the sights and sounds, which I just read. John was there. He saw these things, literally. And I'd like to share some of what the Bible teaches about this place where all of those are saved by the blood of Jesus will spend eternity. Now, you hear a lot of people on programs that have died and gone to heaven. You got different people write books on heaven. And some of them, they don't line up with this.
Right.
Yeah.
And that concerns me, too.
Yes.
And this is how I go. See, God He didn't give us every little bitty detail of what heaven's going to be like, but I tell you one thing, it's going to be incredible.
That's right.
Just a little bitty gave us enough to know that our Heavenly Father has got something great waiting for His children.
Yes.
And some of our loved ones are there right now. They beat us there and they're seeing it.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. So let's peek through the gates together as we glimpse heaven. Amen? First, I'm not going to reread everything I just read, but in verses 1 and 3, if your Bibles are open yet, heaven is a genuine place. It's real. Now, there's people who don't believe there's a heaven either. They think this is heaven. There's religions that right now believe that this is heaven here. And God's going to, you know, clean it all up. He's going to get his broom and his dust mop, and he's going to clean heaven up and make it all pure right here. That doesn't line up with the Word. It does not line up with the Word. Heaven is as real as place as we are in here today. And there are really three heavens. That's right. The first, there's the terrestrial heaven. This refers to the atmosphere of the earth and the air above us when we look up. Then there's the celestial heaven. This is where the stars and the planets are at night when you look up and you see those beautiful stars and planets up there, and it's incredible. Thirdly, there's the celestial heaven, and this is the place where God lives. That's where he lives. And I don't think the Hubble telescope can even get there, but that's where God lives. That's where we're going to go one day, the celestial heaven. Praise the Lord. The place all the saints of God dream about, and this is the place where we long to be. This is the place that is our true home. That's where our true home is.
Yes.
See, we're just passing through this place, this world that we're living in, right? This is not our home. We're heading toward this one, the celestial heaven. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Whew. That had to be an experience, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody in here go to heaven yet?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was going to come up and interview you. That was Paul. John was taken there in his vision in Revelation 4:1. In this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be thereafter. I wonder if that could be the rapture. The voice is the trumpet?
Yeah.
The sound of the trumpet? Said, come up hither? Could be. Revelation 5:14, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. See, that heavenly land is as real as Coon Rapids, Anoka, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Heaven is even more real than that.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's a real place. It is a real place. It's where God lives, who will be joined one day by those who are truly born again. Truly born again. Those are the only ones that are going to be living with God. And heaven, people, I'm going to keep saying it. If there's anyone in here this morning, heaven is real.
Yes.
It's more real than where you and I are today. It's real. Heaven, number one, is a resting place. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, even they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must there enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Did you hear that? Because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Right.
See, I want to just stop there for just a second. Every time we come to church, especially if you go to a church and you haven't given your life, surrendered it to Christ, and you hear a salvation call, and you just say, I know I should go there, but I'm not going to. I'm just not going to do it. Your heart gets hardened, literally. It gets cold and it gets hardened. That way, every time you keep going back to that church and you keep hearing the preacher or somebody talk about coming to Jesus, your heart will get harder and harder and harder to where you don't care anymore. In fact, you don't even hear it anymore. It's just part of your religious activity. And I want to touch on that. If you're in here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ and made him your Lord and Savior, this is a great place to do it.
Amen.
This is a great place to do it.
Yes.
Verse 8 says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. How many would like that? Just have a really good rest.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
For he that is entered into his rest, he also ceaseth him from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There it is right there. The Bible tells us that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, as we are. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Are you seeking heaven?
Yes. Yes.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. I'm not ashamed of the Lord.
No.
I wasn't ashamed of the Lord when I got born again, brand new, when I was 21 years old, young guy. I wasn't ashamed of him. I remember Dallas Holmes one time when I first went to a concert. I may have mentioned this before. He stood up. He was just a young buck at that point, too. He stood up and he started singing. In fact, one of the songs we sung today here, what's that one, Dallas Holmes? It's about the story. I have a story. It is my story.
Blessed Assurance.
I remember him singing that, but one thing that really impacted me with Dallas Holmes as a young man, and I was, like I say, my wife and I were 21, 22, either one, doesn't make any difference, but I remember him standing up there before all the people in the Sioux Falls Coliseum, and he stood up there and he looked at everybody and he said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with my whole heart. That really impacted me. He was not ashamed. And I thought, man, if that guy isn't ashamed, how can I be ashamed?
Yeah.
We got too many Christians that are ashamed to say they're loving Jesus today. They're afraid to say his name in public. We shouldn't be ashamed.
No.
We're going to be living with him for eternity. But Jesus did say, if you're ashamed of me before my Father, I'll be ashamed of you. So we need to remember that too, right? When we enter the gates of that city, we will have laid down the burdens of this existence and gone to a place of peace and rest, a perfect place where burdens cannot follow and troubles cannot come our way. That's going to be a wonderful place, people.
Yeah.
I'd get excited if I were you.
Amen.
If you're a young child in here right now and you have fears in this world, you won't have any fears in heaven.
Amen.
When we get there, we will be home. It's a place to rest from our labors, our cares, our worries, our trials. Everything that hindered us here will not be welcome there.
Amen.
None of it. We will rest when we get home.
Yes.
It's okay to imagine. I'm not... God gave us... Did you know that God gave you the ability to imagine?
Yes.
See, heaven is a residing place. Heaven is a place where some being make their homes right now. The angels live in heaven. In fact, every glimpse into that country features the presence of the angelic host. That's going to be incredible alone just to see them.
Yeah.
There's going to be millions of angels up there. And they're all praising God.
Yes.
And they'll probably be looking at all of us when we get there going. I don't know if they'll do that, but that was Lynn theory. God the Father dwells in heaven. Psalms 11:4, for the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Even there, he can see every one of us right now.
Yes.
The redeemed of the ages will also live in heaven with the Lord God. The night before Jesus went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, he gave his disciples a glorious promise. He told them that he was going to prepare a place for them, a mansion in his Father's house. In John 14, verses 1 and 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is excited about bringing us to heaven.
Yes.
Can you imagine him right now? He's been doing all that work there, and he's got every one of our homes ready for us right now. He's anxious for us to be there.
Amen.
This is just Lynn theory again. Is that okay, Lynn theory?
Yes.
It's not Bible theory, Lynn theory. God knows everything I like. He created me specifically, uniquely than anybody else in this whole world, as he has you. And only God knows my likes, my inner being, and what I really like and get enjoyment out of in this earth. And I wonder if my mansion is going to have some of those things that only I can really appreciate. I don't know. But he's an awesome God. He reads the heart of me. He created every human being in here uniquely different. There's nobody else like you. Think about that. There's not a single human being that's ever lived or will ever live that is like you and I. We're unique. We're unique. That's why God loves us so much. He's so creative. He can only do that. Every one of our fingerprints are different. We all got 10 fingers normally, unless you lost one.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're born without a finger too. Who knows? But God knows every fingerprint. He made every fingerprint.
Yes.
Can you believe that? Could you do that?
Yeah.
But God did. He's the one that's been preparing this mansion for you and I. I think about stuff like that. When we arrive there, we will be home in a mansion prepared just for us by the precious Lord Jesus. We will be there and we will call it our forever home. Hallelujah. Heaven is a genuine place. Again, in verses that I read in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 and verse 9 through 26, it's a glorious place. Glorious in beauty. Never has there been a city described like this city in, as we read in Revelation. To attempt to describe its glories is to exhaust all the adjectives and descriptive language known to man. See, we can see a lot of beautiful homes today, mansions that you see and everything, and they may be beautiful to us here on the earth, but they won't be anything compared to what heaven's going to be like.
Right.
Won't even be close. And today, men and women, they will leave God. They will forsake their walk with the Lord and everything to claim, not all, but many do today. They will seek after the wealth of this world and the beauties of it, thinking this is it. But again, God reminds us that you and I are like a mist, a spray can. That's how fast our life goes by. And many people would rather be rich than to serve the living God here on earth. And it's short-lived. But I tell you what, heaven's going to be beautiful. Paul must have had this in mind when he said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Are you excited?
Yes.
There's things there that Paul couldn't even understand. He can't even describe it. God has got things for you and I that is going to be so incredible that we can't even receive it in our minds right now. I get a kick out of the guy that said, well, I don't want to go to heaven if my dog can't be there. I don't know if dogs are going to be there or not. I know horses will. But I didn't read anything about dogs. But you know something? Even if my dog isn't there that I like, I'm still going to love heaven.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Because God's going to wipe away tears.
Right.
So people who say that I don't want to go to heaven and my dog can't be there, you're going to miss heaven then.
Right.
There's no way that I can adequately describe the city in all of its glory. I just can't do that. But I do want to mention three quick thoughts. It's creation. In Revelation 21:5 again, and he that sat up on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's what God's going to do. He's going to make everything new. He's got the ability to do that. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He's going to make everything new. This is a city built by God himself. He created it, he formed it, and he finished it. It's a city that bears the stamp of his power and his personality. He built a city that reflects his glory, people. That's what we do when we come in the morning to worship him. His beauty.
Right.
His splendor. That's what we do. The beauty, the glory, the wealth, the lavishness of the city are only limited by those aspects of God himself. God created that and built it. Since he knows no limits in those areas, then this city is unlimited as well. Can you imagine that? The God of the universe that created the whole universe has got the ability to do anything he wants and create things out of nothing and do things that you and I can't even comprehend in our puny little minds. But that's what he's been doing in heaven. It will be more glorious than the mind can even comprehend. Its duration, all the cities of this earth crumble and decay, don't they?
Yep.
They crumble and they decay. Everything that you and I have on this earth, everything, it crumbles and decays. Everything. Our own bodies, everything. Homes, cars, you name it, jewelry. It crumbles and decays away. It goes away. Why hold on to it so tight? I like what Corey Ten Boom said, you need to open your hands. And let it go. There's nothing in this earth that you and I can hold on to, our family, our friends, our material, nothing. It's all going to go away should Jesus tarry. And we need to focus on him. You still with me? Every building made by the hand of man must constantly be renovated and repaired. We're watching that in the Twin Cities here. Tear buildings down, put a new building up. I'm thinking, why are they tearing that beautiful building down? They want to build a bigger, better one. But not heaven. Not heaven. It's a city of such construction that it will never crumble or decay ever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Whew. I don't really want to go just yet, but I'm getting excited and wanting to go. See, it's never going to need to be painted again. Huh? No new carpet. Won't need it. No repair work. It's not going to be needing dusting, ladies. I thought the ladies would just jump out of those chairs and walk across the chairs. And no mopping, by the way, or vacuuming. Be none of that in heaven. It will never be turned into a slum or bulldozed to make way for a mall. It will stand forever. The perfect example of what a perfect God we have, and he has great power. In fact, this city is so filled with glory that even eternity itself will not exhaust all that God has prepared for you and me. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to show us those things. And this examination. In this chapter, John tries to describe the city as he examined it. Notice some of the things he tells us about this glorious place called heaven in verses 15 through 17, as I just read again. Its size. Think about this now. The city is 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth and the height are equal, the scriptures teach. They're equal. 1,500 miles. If it were set along the east coast, it would stretch from Atlantic to the Colorado, and from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico. That's how big it's going to be. But now that doesn't talk about going up. Yeah. It's 1,500 miles high, too. Where's your mansion at? Don't you wonder? What floor are you going to be on? 1,500 miles up. Whew. You know, it's good to get in the Word and start looking at little things and just have fun, too. The Lord gets a kick out of me. We're sitting there wondering, what in the world's he got for us? The wall stands approximately 300 feet tall. Beauty rather than protection is the basis for the design. God didn't put that wall there for protection. We won't need protection. He's there. Never to fear again. Never, no harm coming to you or your family ever. God is our protector.
Amen.
Jasper everywhere. Jasper. The glory of God will radiate and be reflected from every surface in heaven. His glory will radiate from every corner of heaven himself. Think about that. The people who say the big man upstairs.
Oh.
The man. You aren't going to be saying that. His glory is so incredible. He's going to reflect every speck of part of heaven. His glory is going to reflect from it. The wall itself in verse 18 is clear jasper. The city in verse 18 is pure gold. And the gold there, by the way, is translucent, it's transparent. Now you say, how can that be? Well, see, God is God. He knows how to do whatever he wants to do.
Yes.
If he wants gold transparent, he'll make gold transparent.
Yes. Right.
Verses 19 through 20 talks about the foundations. Jasper, again, is clear. The sapphire, clear blue. The chalcedony, it's yellowish green. The emerald, it's deep green. The sardonyx is bluish white with layers of red. The sardis stone is blood red. The chrysolite is golden yellow. The beryl is sea green. Topaz is greenish yellow. The chrysoprase is golden green. The janeth is red with a mix of yellow. The amethyst is purple or violet. Think about that. And they can be many other colors too, as far as we know. But these is what, if you research them. The brilliance of the glory is the light from the Lord Jesus Christ. His light and his power blazes through all 12 foundations. And it's reflected and it's prismed by the jasper of the city. There will be beauty upon beauty. God's reflection from his glory will make those stones, those gems, radiate throughout heaven. And there will be colors that you and I can't even imagine, we've never seen yet, that will reflect throughout heaven. Through that 1,500 mile square high heaven is going to be reflected with the beauty of these gems from God himself, from his glory. You know, the ladies like to get the diamond rings and nothing compared to heaven. Nothing compared to heaven. The rainbow, which I do not equate with the homosexual movement, has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Satan tried to rob it because he knew it is a promise from God that he'd never flood this world ever again. Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. That's where God's going to be sitting when we see him. The city will be brilliant testimony to the great glory of God. Verse 21 in Revelation 21, the gates, the gigantic pearls. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl. One person said, that can't be. Pearls, you can't get big pearls like that. God can. He can make pearls as big as he wants. He's God. But can you imagine those gates when you see that pearl? One pearl per gate. Our Creator can make pearls any size he wants. Any size he wants. Verse 21, the street, transparent gold. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. You know, people on this earth murder for gold. They destroy their homes, their lives, their families to get gold. Is all they need to do is come to Jesus and he'll give them a whole mansion full.
Amen. There you go.
It's pavement. Just think about that. How we destroy one another to receive these things that God has prepared for us already. And he gave his life for it. Suffice to say that this city is far more glorious than anything the human mind can ever hope to comprehend, people. And we're getting ready to go there.
Right.
The best thing a man and a woman can do is make the necessary preparations and go see it for yourself.
That's right.
Huh? That's why we need to reach the young people today that are being slaughtered out there in this world.
Yes.
Protecting them, letting them know that there's a God in heaven who loves and cares so much about them, created them for a purpose, and you and I as adult men and women need to live our lives accordingly, according to the Word of God, to reach the lost out there that need this.
Amen.
That should be our heart's desire, to win the lost. Heaven's glorious in its blessings. While all the glories of heaven make it a place unique from any other place in the universe, it isn't the physical attributes of the city that make it so special. Those are all beautiful things that I'm talking about. There are two great truths mentioned in these verses that tell me that heaven is the place I'm looking for. First, the presence of God. Without him, heaven probably wouldn't be beautiful. Not probably, it wouldn't be. According to Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, when we get to heaven, we're going to see God himself. And there shall be no more curse. Huh? But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Other translations say on. King James says in. In their foreheads. I don't want any tattoos on me, and I don't want anybody ejecting anything in me. I'm reserving that for what I'm reading here. Right here. God's name is going to be in my forehead. And we're going to stand right before him. Are you ready, people? Are you ready? It's going to happen. And I just sense in my spirit that we are so close, watching world events coming right now. The way Jesus said them over 2,000 years ago, they're unraveling before our eyes right now. Are you making preparations to see him? Right now, we are separated from him by this flesh that we wear. One day we will stand in his presence free from this sinful flesh.
Yeah.
And we will see him in all of his glory. We couldn't right now. We would die instantly. In that day, we will be able to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who willingly left heaven above and went to the cross for you and me. We're going to stand before him. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. I've seen the rebellious people say, never, not me. There's no way, nobody's going to make me bow. Yeah, he is. Every human being alive will bow before this Jesus. Whether you want to or you don't, I want to. I did already. I bowed before him and said, I want you as my Lord. Church, that will be enough for me right there to see Jesus. I really think that everything else will fade away when he comes into view. I really do. He's going to be a glorious Lord.
Yes.
The promise of God, Revelation chapter 21, 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. People that are loved ones that are dying. Even today, there's multitudes dying right now in our world by the thousands every day. Literally, by the thousands, tens of thousands, every day in this world. And there's tears and there's heartache. There's young people, there's old people being corrupted and abused throughout this world. And there's heartache and there's tears and there's crying. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. We watch our loved ones die. We all probably have in here. That won't happen ever again. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Never have to say goodbye ever again. That's the promise from God. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The heartache, the pain, the suffering in this world is going to be all gone. That's a promise from God. That's the promise from the one that we're going to be looking at. These verses tell us the precious truth that all the things that hinder and ruin life here, they're not going to be allowed in heaven. Amen. None of the things that bring tears to our eyes will be there. Even the tears themselves will be forever banished from that land. What a glorious future awaits the children of God. Heaven is a genuine place. Heaven is a glorious place. Revelation 21:27, and there will be shall in no wise enter into that city that defileth. Nothing. That's why when I hear people say, I hope I go. If you're not right with Jesus and you're not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you don't go. Nothing that defileth will enter heaven. Nothing. Whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's where your name needs to be, in the Lamb's book of life. And that happens when you become born again. Heaven is a guarded place, guarded for the saved. 1 Peter 1:14, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for the Christian. Heaven is an exclusive place. It has been created for a select group of individuals. Only those with the proper credentials will be allowed within the gates of that city. In fact, the entrance requirements are so strict that there is only one way to get in. There's only one way to get in. Don't watch the Twilight Zone. You won't walk up to the gate and see St. Peter with your dog. The guy thought it was St. Peter. He was deceived even in the movie. It was the gates to hell, but he didn't know it. Well, we kept him out. He didn't want to go there without his dog. There's only one door, people. Only one door. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Yes.
That's Jesus. There's no other way. There's even people sitting in churches that still think that they'll get in there if they live a good enough, clean life. It won't happen. It won't happen. That's not the proper door. You are not the door. I am not the door. Jesus is the door. Self-righteousness is not the door. His name is Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus.
Right.
It's the only way. Wipe everything else clean out of your mind about getting into heaven except through the door, Jesus.
Amen.
And that comes through a commitment, a repentance to him. The only way to get into heaven is through faith in him and what he accomplished on the cross. You see, the Bible says you must be born again. John 3, verses 3 and 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Do you understand that, people? We need to be born again. We're born sinners into this world. Everyone, child, they come into this world born into a sinful world. We're sinners. Jesus said we need to be born again. The Spirit of God quit dwelling with man back in the Garden of Eden. In order for God to reconcile that, he had to send Jesus to die on a cross. And from that point, we receive his Spirit into us, making us born again. I did a real quick one there, but that's what it is. This means that you must trust Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to save your soul. Nothing else. Religion is not going to do it. Going to church is not going to do it. Paying your tithes is not going to do it. Taking communion is not going to do it. Being a Catholic is not going to do it. Being a Baptist is not going to do it. Being a Pentecostal is not going to do it. You need Jesus.
Yes.
The only thing that will save you is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Are you saved this morning?
Yeah.
Are you sure that if you died today that you would be granted access into heaven? Are you sure? Have you spoken to your children about Jesus, that there's a God who loves them, who wants their life? Have you talked to your grandkids, your great-grandkids? Have you to let them know that there's only one way to heaven, giving them that opportunity? If there's even the shadow of doubt in your mind, then I beg you to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning.
Right.
Heaven is guarded from sorrow. I've already touched on this thought today, but you need to know that nothing from this world will enter that world. Nothing. In fact, in these two chapters, there's an existent list of no more things in heaven. And notice them in verse 1, no more sea, meaning division and separation. Verse 4, no more sadness, your tears. Verse 4 again, no more sleep, meaning death. Verse 4 again, no more sorrow. Verse 4 again, no more suffering. Verse 22, no more sanctuary, meaning temples. God is our temple, our tabernacle. No more sun, not needed. No more sundown, no night. None of those are in heaven. Don't need them. Revelation 22, verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and that of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I just really thought I'd have more amens today. I know I'm not real charismatic, but I tell you what, I really thought I would have more amens talking about this today. Because, I even put down here, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That sounds like a place I want to go. That sounds like a place that I need to be getting my life ready for. That sounds like a place I shouldn't be afraid to tell my loved ones about. Heaven, heaven, heaven. They already know they're going to hell. They really do. They know it. That's why they're fighting so hard against it to submit to Christ like I did. But heaven. Entice them with heaven. But then tell them what they need to do to get there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Heaven is guarded from sin, people. It's guarded from sin. Verse 8 and 27 tells us the precious truth that there will be no sin in heaven. What a blessing that's going to be. There will be no sin whatsoever. Whatever you and I have experienced in this life, even in our own personal life, we've done ourselves, there's going to be absolutely zero sin in heaven. Zero. It won't be there. And that's why when people say, I'm going to go, I don't need to give my life to Jesus, I can just be a good person. No, you can't. You're still a sinner then.
Yeah.
No sin will be in heaven. None. I've got self-righteous people in my family. They think they're good enough, they'll go to heaven. No, they won't. I tell them that. It's only the righteousness of Christ that will get you to heaven.
Amen.
His righteousness.
Right.
How wonderful it will be forever free from the presence of the devil.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Of the temptations.
Yes.
Of this old flesh and from sin. That's going to be a glorious time, people. I tell you, that's why you won't be sitting there in heaven like this. You're going to be shouting and jumping and joying all around. I tell you, it's going to be unending.
Amen.
It's not going to be boring.
Worshiping.
It's not going to be boring at all. Heaven's going to be incredible.
Yes.
However, as great as that will be, we must acknowledge the fact that there will be no sinners in heaven either. Our loved ones, if you've got loved ones and you've never shared Christ with them, you need to do it. If you don't, they're not going to be there unless somebody else reaches them. There will be not one single person who has denied the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior that will be in there. Not one person. If they deny him, they will not be there. You see, God might as well allow the devil into heaven as to open the gate to one unsaved person.
That's right.
They would defile that glorious city and bring it crashing down. One little bit of sin. There will be nothing there. That's why we need to begin to read the word and to realize when God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. In every facet. And it's a daily walk, isn't it? Not perfect, but we say, Lord, I got to clean this part of my life up. I got to quit saying this, doing this, thinking this. Heaven would become hell if just one sinner was allowed inside. Just one. God has pledged to protect that city from all wickedness and sin. The only way to enter that place is to have your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And the only way to get that done is to receive him into your life by faith. Have you done that? What are you holding on to if you haven't? What are you holding on to? Are we more concerned about what each of us think of each other than what our God thinks of us? Because it's really pride why many people will not be in heaven, because they don't want to have to admit that they need salvation or admit to somebody else that they need to get saved.
Right.
That's why it's good to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There might be some new person says, well, pastor, that's easy for you to say. You're a preacher in the church. I've done it all my life. Out there too, still do. I work out in the world during the week too. I still do. If God opens doors and he leads me to or to me, I open my mouth. I just did one not too long ago with my barber, which was dangerous. I said, now don't take a chunk out of my head, but I got to tell you this. Whatever it is that you are allowing to stand between you and eternity and heaven, believe me, it isn't worth it to go to hell for. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In conclusion here, the great 18th century Bible commentator Matthew Henry, anticipating that some would unduly mourn his passing, wrote these words of comfort and assurance to his loved ones. Here it is. Would you like to know where I am? I'm at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be, no longer on that stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done and I'm reaping. My joy is as the joy of harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know that I am doing? I see God, not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I'm engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to him who sits upon the throne, and I'm constantly praising him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? It's better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances and with whom I worked and prayed and who have come here before me. Lastly, do you want to know how long this will continue? It's dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Great testimonial, that last letter. With every head bowed, I just want to ask you this morning, this is what church is really all about right here, is to come together as the body of Christ and ask God to help us to get our lives right as He sanctifies us. But mostly, if you walked in here and you have not been born again and you say, well, I just happen to want to visit today, now I'm not so sure. Well, you are directed in here by the Holy Spirit. This is your opportunity to receive Jesus right now, and you can either reject Him or put it off, which will make your heart become colder. God said it. Beware lest your heart become hardened and you fall away from the living God. Is there anybody in here this morning to say, Pastor, I want to make sure I go to heaven one day? Just lift your hand way up in the air with every head bowed. Let's just lift them up in the air. Is there anybody that walked in? Is there anybody? I don't want to miss it. Maybe everybody in here is a Christian this morning. Could be. I don't know. But if not, you better make sure. Don't depend on how good you are. Is there anyone? Just a moment. Is there anyone? It's not my responsibility to get people saved. I only make the invitation. It's the Holy Spirit that builds His church, not me. So I don't walk away saying, oh, somebody, nobody gave their life. I don't do that. Noah didn't do it, and I'm not doing it. Is there anybody? Is there anybody that says, I got to give my life? I don't care if you're a child. If you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to go to heaven, just raise your little hand up. We'll pray with you. We're not going to embarrass anybody. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here right now agrees with me that you can't wait to get to heaven? I know you don't want to go just yet, but I mean, when it's time, you want to go, right? I just want to ask this morning, because people, brothers, sisters in Christ, we need to get excited about this Jesus. We need to get excited about Him. How many in here would say and agree with me that we need the Holy Spirit's help to help us to want to get the Word of God out to a lost and dying world? Amen?
Amen.
And if you're not excited about Jesus, you're not going to tell anybody about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
See, when you go out in the world and you see somebody in a Walmart or in the Perkins, and God has set you up perfectly to go in there and you can share the gospel, but you don't, you miss. Sometimes you run into the most awesome people when you least expect it. I've witnessed to people in places I never dreamt I would, but when God wants you to do it. But you know something? I do it because I want to. I'm excited to tell somebody that there's hope. I'm going to pray with you and myself together that we be a church in this end time. We are in the last days, people. One day we're not going to have an opportunity to share with our families anymore, with our friends, with co-workers, with no one. It's going to be done and quickly. And I'm going to keep saying that whether you like it or not, because Jesus is coming. And we need to be ready, and we should be about our Father's business. Especially with family. When you come around your family for the holidays now, Christmas, greatest time in the world is just share Jesus with them. You don't have to get in a fight with them. You don't have to argue with them. Just ask them like I did with my family. I said, can I tell you something? Once they say yes, it's their problem. Because they said I could do it. And if they get smart, I just say, you just told me I could. And you share the gospel with them. Let's just pray before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. For you are a creative God. And Lord, you created heaven. Heaven is a place we forget about, but it's a beautiful place that you've been working on and creating. And Lord, Let your Holy Spirit move through us. Use us to reach a lost and dying world. Like Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was passionate. He looked for individuals to share the good news that he came and he died. And Lord, there may be some in here that didn't even raise their hand, and maybe they still haven't got it. But Lord, you said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from you for all eternity. I pray, Lord, that you open their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes to see and to receive the greatness of your glory and the compassion of your love for your human race, that you died. You came to earth and you died. And Lord, help us to realize that there is a hell too, if there's any in here that don't really believe there's such a place, that a holy God wouldn't create such a place. Lord, help them to read the word and help them to understand you didn't create it for them. But we choose to go there on our own accord. Lord, put in us as born again Christians, Lord, to have a fire in our spirits, to reach our loved ones, to reach and to live the life within our homes, to help each others, that Lord, when the trumpet sounds, we can face you, we can look at you, and we can worship you with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, I pray you touch every home, every ear that's here this morning, encourage their hearts, let us know that we're on a mission to heading home. And we want to take as many with us as we can. And we want to have our lives in order. We don't do the cleaning. You do, Lord. We don't do the cleaning. You do the sanctification as your Holy Spirit reveals to those things in our lives that we need to walk away from, repent of, in order to serve you. And Lord, I just pray right now the precious blood of Jesus over every home. Meet everybody's financial, spiritual, mental, physical, domestic needs, whatever it is they have need of, Lord. Let them see your mighty hand, Lord. And I believe we're on the verge of supernatural things that are coming into this world. Help us as a body of believers at Crossfire to be a church ready for whatever comes. And use us for your glory, Father. Help us to be bold as lions. To stand up for righteousness, Lord. And we're excited, Lord, because we know that your word is true and that you are coming back. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm looking forward for heaven.
Yeah.